Good afternoon and welcome to the Project Joy radio show. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Ashwini.
Well, I'm glad it let you on.
Oh my gosh, that is the most bizarre experience when, you know, you're putting in the right code and it says it's the wrong code. And over and over and over dance until finally, magically, she seemed satisfied. So here
yes,
we are.
Yes, indeed.
It is a helpful feeling, though.
Yes, it is. So we're here in beautiful Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, and our assignments for the last couple of days are: a rut is a grave with the ends knocked out. Pinned on the sandwich board in the monastery dining hall is an old, faded quote with this definition of karma: the incessant push towards what we think we deserve. Karma could be described as the great cosmic rut, a pattern that repeats itself endlessly. To be trapped on the karmic wheel of suffering is to miss out on the glorious experience of being alive. Today, notice when you are trapped in an old karmic rut. What drops in from life in that moment of awareness that would assist you to make a choice for freedom? Recording lesson. And then on Saturday, to be surprised, to wonder, is to begin to understand. This quote mirrors the teaching of the first step in the Eightfold Path: compassionate comprehension that dissipates delusion. In a moment of presence, in a flash of insight, we know in a way that is beyond the scope of conditioned understanding and knowledge. We are alive with the mystery of existence that we intuitively sense and recognize. Today, drop the knowing of conditioned mind and let life surprise you into compassionate comprehension. Record and listen. Tai Lo Tien, a Chinese poet, asked the Zen master, "What is Buddha's teaching?" The master said, "Buddha's teaching is to do something good, not to do something bad." Tai Lo Tien said, "That's pretty easy. Even a three-year-old knows that." "Even though a three-year-old knows that, an 80-year-old doesn't do it," the master replied. We often say that practice is simple, but not easy. It's not easy because the ego has no interest in being let go. The resistance we experience against putting into practice what will liberate us is nothing more than the ego fighting hard for control. Therefore, it's important not to identify the resistance as my resistance, but instead to recognize it as ego in action. Rather than going up against the resistance, recruit a childlike sense of humor, fun, and play. As Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven belongs to those who are like little children. Today, playfully do whatever ego resists and experience innocent goodness. Record and listen. All right, shall we hear from our first caller, Sherry?
Yes, please.
First caller, you're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry and Ashwini. This is Mira in Seattle.
Hey, Mira.
Hello.
Hi. I just knew I was going to be first. Here I am.
Described in the quote.
Described in the quote?
Yeah, described in the reading that we just heard.
So the one about the a rut is a grave without ends. That one's just been really, really getting to me, and I've been having this experience of, I'll just be walking along and I'll just be overcome by tears. And I didn't see this until this morning, until I went back and was looking over what the assignments were over the weekend. But there was a belief that there was something deeply wrong that I just wasn't getting. And what I saw was that there was meaning being made out of that. That this is, instead of this just being something, it's getting my attention. I guess maybe that's what, it's getting my attention and it's making me, it's just sucking me right in. And what keeps pulling me out is coming back to practice, but I keep getting sucked in. And I thought that that was, I'm getting lost in talking about this, but okay. I thought that that so was that the reality.
Right, if I could catch up here. So you're just going along, and suddenly you're in tears.
Yeah.
And the meaning behind that, that wasn't in conscious awareness, but you've realized, is that that is some, that's being used as proof that there is something deeply out of whack, and you don't know what it is. So there's something really wrong, and you're kind of helpless against it because you don't know what it is.
Right.
Is that
right?
Is that it?
That is it. That is it. And then this morning it just dropped in like, well, why don't you just look at what that is? And I can't find it.
Now, isn't that interesting?
Mm-hmm.
So there's something. So you're getting this big signal, deeply, but when you look for it, you can't find it. You can't find any evidence of it.
That's right. Yeah.
So what if those tears are tears of letting go? What if they're relief and release? What if they're just washing away all those old erroneous beliefs of that there's something wrong with you? What if they were cleansing things so that you could be here in this new, fresh moment of your life, unburdened by all those tired old beliefs and assumptions?
Wow. One of the things that I saw this morning as I was trying to make a decision, I knew I was going to listen to the radio show this morning, and as I was trying to make a decision about whether to raise my hand, what I saw was how I was being kept from participating, and so I did the coin flip. And yes. And so that just took it right out of that conversation.
Mm-hmm. So there's that, you see that information, right? You have to make a decision about whether or not to put yourself in the queue.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a good indication that there is something that doesn't want you to.
Right.
Right? It occurred to you to do it, to the show, and it occurred to you to, and then the debate starts. Well, so you take the practice way out, which is I'm just going to flip a coin and see, go with whatever happens. And it was raise your hand, put yourself in the queue. Right. And so you did that.
You did that.
And so there's this information everywhere around us when we start noticing it in this way, that egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate really does want to control us, really does want us not to participate, really deeply, deeply, deeply wants us to believe there's something wrong with it.
Yeah.
Because You got a commentary there in the background.
Yes, I do. I'm sorry about that.
No, that's not a problem. Sounds good. A good participant wanted to be in the queue this morning. So, So there, we're seeing this, and one of the things we've talked about on retreat this week is, for conditioned human beings, emotion things real. So if you're crying regularly, there must be something wrong.
Mm-hmm.
But what if it's just cleansing?
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. So perhaps a little fun practice would be the next time the crying happens, just to say thank you. Thank you. I can feel myself letting go.
Mm.
Thank you. This is so good. It's so helpful.
Oh, it's so good and so helpful to have called into. Thank you so much.
You are so welcome. I'm so glad we got you in the flip.
So am I. It really is a lifesaver sometimes.
Thank you, Mira.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Thank you, Mira. I just love that, you know, you grab a practice tool to get out of the place you're in. Mm-hmm. And that's the movement we're training to make all the time.
Yeah.
From, you know, the awareness of being in the conditioned process and then the ability to get out of it.
Yeah. Yeah. And that I'll flip a coin. I mean, you know, we're already free. But yeah. It's that process that kind of solidifies it, is a terrible word under the circumstances, but it seals the deal, right? I'm out of that conversation here. We're in a whole new room.
Yes, and that place that the cures as a cleansing process, it brings me so close to that place of we never know what's going on, really. Mm-hmm. Right, it has nothing to do with the content in my life now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that the tears are not there for a reason.
Right, that they're not doing something. Yeah.
Yes.
And I just love that they're meant to signal that there's something really wrong. And then, okay, well, what is that then? I need to find out what that is because I'll certainly want to address that. And, of course, there's not going to be anything there because there isn't anything there.
Mm-hmm.
We're just meant to be afraid and go with whatever conditioned mind holds us next.
Yes, as opposed to compassionate comprehension.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, here's our next caller, Sherry. Next caller, right. You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi. Good morning. It's Jessica from Boston.
Well, hello there.
Hello. That conversation is really resonating, as that quote did about being in a rut. I think I've had this particular... what I've watched these last few days is what felt like very charged piece of content that I've been practicing with. I think I called in once about sort of jealousy. I've been practicing for months with it, and mm-hmm. perhaps per practice, perhaps for a little bit of magic, perhaps completely by chance, the content was grabbing me less. And a new situation in my life somewhat related to that happened a few days ago, and the story around it shifted just a little bit. So it was no longer about jealousy in this other woman. It was, you know, why aren't he and I living together? But the force of it, of just like feeling like you're being knocked over and sucked into a tidal wave and like being completely aware of it the whole time, like, but mm-hmm. still caught in the wave.
Mm-hmm.
And and having this moment after I'm like on shore coughing up water, like, what the heck just happened? Feeling like, wait a second, this feels exactly the same, but the story is just a little bit different. And a sense of, like, I guess ego frustration, like, here you are again, or you're like, you're not going to be satisfied. It's like, but this awareness that, like, it's never satisfied, that there will always be a new piece of content that knocks you on your butt. And at the same time feeling this, like, that it's this, like, clinging to some sort of past that really isn't identified and some sort of future that it imagines. But like Saturday's quote, having this moment, these moments when I'm present and not identified, where I know everything is miraculous right now. And so this piece of tears, there's something to what Ashwini said about, like, it doesn't, there's this sense of knowing that it doesn't really have anything to do with what's happening right now, but in the midst of it, it feels so real. And so I guess I'm just asking, I don't know what I'm asking, I'm just sharing this, and, you know, with this deeper content, it's like, you practice and you practice, but sometimes you're just, like, still in the tidal wave, and, like, is that just it? Like, enjoy the...
Well, enjoy the ride.
Choking on water.
Yeah.
Gargling.
Yes, call it gargling. Salt water, it's very good. So the thing that you said that really struck me is that, so there is that conversation just hammering you, right? It's not like you're allowed a moment of peace where it doesn't want to be talking to you about this situation and what's wrong and what's happening and feel and that sort of thing. Then there's a little shift, and it accuses you of never being satisfied. That, to me, that awareness is just kind of the whole deal. Because without that conversation, that incessant conversation in your head, do you think you could be satisfied with the relationship the way it is now?
Yeah, I mean, I am.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so that awareness that conversation in the head, the ego, is never satisfied. And it's going to try to blame its dissatisfaction on you. It's going to try to drag you into its dissatisfaction. So seeing that, having that distance on it, to me continues to inspire us to end that relationship. Keep with the human being, both of them, right? You and him.
Yeah.
Keep that relationship, but lose that other one. Because we just see over and over and over more and more clearly, it's the problem.
Yes, yeah, so is.
The other woman is not the problem. She's not in your head yammering away at you all the time.
Right. Yeah. She's actually quite nice when I'm around her. Yeah. Right. Well, and, like, now it's the new thing. It's not about her. It's about, you know, that we're not living together. And it's like, but, you know, also our situations are quite happy, too, when that conversation isn't going on and I get to enjoy what I'm doing.
Precisely.
It's interesting go ahead.
No, go ahead.
What I feel like has been from practice, a new, shall we say, ability, is that I'm almost always so aware that I'm in it, so I can at least articulate to myself and the times that I'm with him when it's happening, to be like, I'm in a tidal wave right now. I'm in a tantrum. And so there's something that feels freeing even of that, to be like, I'm having a little trouble disidentifying, but
yeah,
this is
it
like
personally.
Not me. Yeah, this is not really me, and I'm clear about that, even though right now I feel there's a part of me that's feeling really clinging to that, whatever that is in the moment.
Yes, and in being able to talk about it, you're you're stepping back more by the time I'm projecting, and by the time you've described it, you actually aren't in it any longer.
Yeah.
And then the work, of course, is to keep attention focused on where you are and what's actually going on, because the goal is to get dragged back into that tidal wave.
Yeah, you know, I'm really glad I said that and to hear you say that, because what I'm realizing is there's this subtle story that's sort of been underlying of just like, you can keep, you know, you're a terrible person because you keep feeling these things, of course, and then if you talk about them, you're making it worse, and, you know, he's going to get annoyed with this, and, you know, all that stuff, but it's just like, it's not true.
Well, Jessica, no, that isn't true. And the two things that I think are important about that, one is that you do 90% of your process, 99% of your process with a recorder.
Mm-hmm, yep.
Right? But when you are in a state of identification, to acknowledge that to him and to do the disidentification process through acknowledging what's going on seems like a great kindness in the relationship. I doubt very many people get annoyed with people with whom they're in relationship disidentifying.
Right?
What's annoying is when they're identified and they're not copping to it and they don't seem to know it, and even if you point it out to them, they get defensive. That's what's hard in a relationship, not talking about something that he's watching.
Right?
It's not like he hasn't noticed. Copping to it is just like being at work and doing something unskillful. You know, if you say to whomever is in charge of your work, you know, I did this thing and I realized that it really was not a good thing, you know, whatever, that's one experience versus you're defensive, you try to hide it, you know, the one is popular, the other is not.
Yeah, it's so clear as you're saying that, like, which one is life and which one is ego.
Precisely.
Yeah. Okay.
All right.
Awesome.
Good.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Jessica.
Enjoy retreat.
Thank you. Wish you were here.
Me too. Next time.
Next time.
Gotcha.
Thanks, Jessica. There was so much in that call, Sherry. There was faith I really found resonated, but I am going to try to bring another person on the call.
And we can talk about that later.
Yes, we could. Absolutely. So here's our next caller.
All right.
You're now live on the air. Would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Loren from Connecticut.
Hello, Loren.
Hi. I'm especially excited to have made it on the call because I was part of the Fear Retreat in May, and up until that point I hadn't been part of Project Joy yet, so I heard it for the first time sitting on the Fear Retreat, and so it's been really lovely this week on Project Joy to imagine people on that retreat listening to Project Joy, if they are, assuming they are,
and
it just made me feel very close to Sangha this week. Are you there? The quote that I worked with the most this weekend that's been standing out to me, as well as the one from Friday about being in a rut and the karma and sort of seeing that drive and then looking to what can drop in instead. And the thing that dropped in for me a few times this weekend as I was having, you know, difficult time with some pieces of content or karma was the wisdom of just staying with my experience. And that has been a very helpful part of practice for me recently. of just realizing that so much of the worst, so much of what's allowed to happen to me and difficult things when, you know, it's a weekend I've been with family or in certain settings that can usually be difficult for me, that so much of what's allowed to happen is allowed to happen because I go to an anxious place and maybe go unconscious and then just come up for hours later and wonder why I feel awful, and realizing that just making the commitment to keep checking in with myself and want to be there for my experience, even if, you know, there's a little bit of something to it, is that that's just so, it just feels so friendly and nice to do that.
Yes, yes. I was talking with someone yesterday who's gone through a loss, and is in a grieving process, and that out. And what she was telling me that she finally got to was no resistance. No resistance to anything. And she said that has done for her is to enable her to get out of that conversation and conditioned mind and how she should feel and how she should act and what other people are doing and what that means, mm-hmm. and all of that, that there's just no resistance to anything. So it's kind of like, you know, somebody who goes to a movie and then to cover up their eyes, well, close their eyes or put their hands over their ears or whatever, so as not to have whatever experience is happening in the movie, and getting to the place of realizing that we're sentient beings, we're here to have experiences, which we can tell, because goodness knows plenty of them are offered to us, and training ourselves to just stay there, conscious of us, and don't allow any resistance to life.
Yes, that's a beautiful way of saying it. Yes, and it's funny, those are the words that I've been using, the, you know, a lot of language around being a sentient being, and that no matter what it is that is there, it's such a gift to feel it, to see it, and and the lovely thing that dropped in once when I was recording and listening this weekend is another one of my ruts or karmic things, and not just mine. I have a sense from being in Sangha that this is for a lot of people about, you know, why aren't I figuring it out more? Why isn't it becoming easier? That whole story of that's just conditioning. That's, it's never good enough. I've never figured out enough. And the shift that happens of just being, just to see a little bit, just the process of seeing a fraction of anything feels so supportive and grateful that it helps me with that shift so much from, oh yes, this is so clearly conditioning, because it never feels like you figured out enough. It never feels like you're getting
you're
it.
You're never going to be smart enough, thin enough, cute enough, or rich enough.
Yes.
Right? It's just never going to work.
Yeah, mm-hmm. and then the shift into, oh my God, I see so much that even if there was so much more to see, it the gratitude for just the clue of what an illusion all of that suffering is, that even when I'm still feeling it, yes.
The excitement, right? Because you've seen so much. Well, but there's so much more to see. Yes. There's so much more to see. I can't wait.
Yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Completely different orientation, isn't it? And life changes. This being it changes so dramatic.
Yes, yes. So that's what I wanted to share today. Thank you.
Knocking the ends out of that rut, huh?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, the last thing we really want is to keep ego in its comfort zone, because that is what designs that rut and makes it a coffin.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Well, thank you, Lauren.
Thank you.
Thank you, Lauren. That brings us to the end of another wonderful show, Sherry. And here's our assignment for the day.
All right.
It's easier to fight for one's principles than to live up to them.
It's easier to fight for one's principles than to live up to them.
Sherry, you're fading a little bit. It's easier to fight for one's principles than to live up to them.
Okay.
We're familiar with the story of Zen Master Bankai, who hosted a retreat attended by people from all over the country. An attendee was caught stealing, and Bankai ignored all requests to take action against the culprit. In the end, the assembly gave Bankai an ultimatum: deal with the thief, or we will all leave. To which he replied, "You are all wise and know right from wrong, but this poor brother does not. Who will teach him if I do not? You are all welcome to go elsewhere, but I will be his teacher." What a glorious example of living compassion. Today, practice living your principles as a practitioner of awareness by paying attention, being kind, and choosing compassion every chance you get. Record and listen.
Choosing compassion every chance we get. Because science has no resistance, does it?
Mm-hmm.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
Thanks.
We'll see you tomorrow.
Thanks. Okay. See you tomorrow. Go happy.